This is the Kenny Hearts Life Podcast, and I'm your host, Kenny. Here we'll talk about everything you need to know to really heart your life. That means budgets, travel, relationships, family, health, mindsets, and more. And basically the best friend you never knew you had. So open up your mind and your heart, and let's begin. Guys, it's Kenny. Thank you so much for tuning back into the show. Me and Mr. Tim, the cat, are so happy that you're back. And if you guys follow me on Instagram, you already know that this show is going to be all about travel hacks. If you're one of my followers, of course, we did a couple of polls. As you know, I've been traveling for the last couple of weeks, about a month now, and I've been putting up polls trying to see what you guys wanted to hear about, and travel hacks won by a landslide. Since I do this podcast pretty much based on my bucket list and how I'm hitting all my goals, travel is one of the biggest things on there. So my bucket list is about 82 things, and about 50 of those are travel related. So when I was younger, I thought that you had to be rich to travel. I didn't know how much plane tickets cost. I thought they were hundreds, thousands of dollars. I thought if you wanted to stay in a hotel, it was going to cost hundreds of dollars. I didn't know how you got around once you got there. I didn't know how the language barrier thing worked. Oh, Mr. Tim, not right now. But so I thought that it was so difficult and I couldn't accomplish any of those things because you had to be rich to do it. Guess what? Wrong. Kenny got no ends, y'all. I ain't got no ends, and I travel all the time. I don't have a bunch of cushion money. I don't have, any savings built up for travel. I don't have, parents who give me money for travel or anything like that. I don't have a sugar daddy. I'm paying for this stuff out of pocket, okay? And I travel all the time, and whenever I travel, it is super cheap. It's super affordable. Most of my domestic flights are under $100. When I went to Europe, it was under $400. And then when I do stays, I usually do a couch surfing type thing. I do Airbnbs. And when I do stay in hotels, I make sure I get coupons. I will find the cheapest rate and then I'll call the hotel and tell them, hey, I found it here cheaper. So we're going to go over all of those hacks. We're going to talk about flights. We're going to talk about stay. And I'm going to tell you how to get around once you get there, because that's crazy important. You don't want to get there and then be walking around and confused. All right. So let's get into it. Okay, babes. One of the biggest questions for everyone who has pretty much inboxed me, just about every single question, has been, what site do I use to book my flights? Especially because I've been posting a lot about, hey, I went to Denver for $75. I went to Atlanta for $98. Okay, this is probably going to blow your mind. I know nobody thinks about this, but it's right in front of your face. Google Flights. Not Google Flights. The actual Google Flights. Just like Gmail and Google Keep, Google Flights. So Google actually has a flights page where you can go and look at all the cheapest flights for the entire year. It's super easy to use. It doesn't take a lot of hassle like a lot of these other travel sites have. A lot of sites will have you put in the exact dates you want and then they'll finagle you for all this money. No, Google Flights. You put in the airport you're leaving from. I always try to put in the nearest international airport. If you can get somebody to drop you off at the airport or Uber to this airport, do that because it's always going to be cheaper. I live in Dallas, so the DFW airport goes to all these major cities that people have to have layovers in. So they fly out all kind of people. And then they have all the major airlines. So when you go to Google, you're going to go to from and to. When you put from, you're going to put the airport that you're flying from. Of course, try to pick an international airport. And then instead of putting a to, you'll just hit search. When you hit search, it'll take you to this page that has a full list of all the cheapest places you can fly to. And then it'll have random dates and it'll show you the cheapest dates to fly. So right now, if I went to DFW and then I hit search, it would show me Philadelphia. I could fly to Philadelphia in December for $29 round trip. You heard me right. $29. round trip. That's going and coming back, babe. What? If I wanted to go to Denver, which I just got back from Denver, it would only cost me about $54, which I paid $75 to go. It would be $54 right now. If I wanted to go to Atlanta, it would be $102. So you see what I'm saying? And it'll show me all the different times to go for the cheapest. That way you can kind of plan out a little bit. And if you want to do even a little bit more, hey, Kendra, I don't have $102 right now, but I still want to fly out. There's stuff I want to do in these certain places, blah, blah, blah. What do I do? Okay, super easy again. Do 2 one-way tickets. Yes, you can do that. And a lot of people think, okay, one way is for if I'm trying to move somewhere and I don't plan on going back. No, okay, just to be honest, we don't always have the end straight up. A lot of us are living paycheck to paycheck trying to figure out what we want to do. That's fine. No shade, no shame. That's okay. You should still be able to do what you want to do while you're doing what you have to do. Buy 2 one-way tickets. So when I was going to Denver, when we decided we were going, it was kind of a last minute thing. I was like, okay, let me look at 2 one-ways. That's fine. This is what I have right now. This is what I can work with. So I bought my first ticket for $45. It was going to Denver. Then after I talked to my boyfriend, hey, when are we coming back? Because we didn't know how long I was going to be able to stay. We didn't know when I was going to be able to get off work, with all that stuff. I was like, okay, found out. And I paid $30 to get back. It was easy as that. It doesn't take a lot of hassle. You'll buy 2 tickets. It's fine. It takes 3 minutes. It's super easy. And it's Google, so it's super safe. Okay. Another good thing about Google Flights is you can actually put in where you want to go. So, for instance, next year I plan on going to Canada. I don't know if I want to go to Vancouver or Toronto yet. We've been looking at a couple of different places and I've been trying to get ideas. But what I'll do is, and this is just an example because I don't have my laptop open right now, I'll type DFW as the from, and then I'll put Toronto in as the to. So after I hit search, it will show me a calendar with the dates that I already have. Like, so it will probably be like November 15th, which is today, through maybe November 17th. They're just random dates. So you'll go into that calendar and you'll hit reset. When you hit reset, it'll show you the prices for every day for the next like 6 months to a year, which is incredible. So instead of you being stuck with just a general set price, you can see, hey, if I leave on Tuesday, it'll cost me $105. But if I leave on Wednesday, it'll cost me $358. So guess what day I'm leaving? Google, thank you. Thank you for this, okay? Because nobody else is telling me this. And then also, if you want to plan out, you can actually go through all the months and see how much it's going to be. So it may be more expensive to go to Toronto in the prime season, like August, because it's cooler there. So people are trying to get some cooler weather. But it's cheaper to go when it's cold outside. So I could go to Toronto right now for half the price. So you're able to see all of that right from the calendar, which is incredible. All right, so now that you found the place you want to go to, let's say we're going to Toronto, we are paying $300 round trip to Toronto. Sweet. Okay. It's an international flight. We'll let them have it. We'll let them have that $300, okay? We might even do 2 one-way tickets. So we're going to let them have the $300. All right. So now what are we going to do once we get to Toronto? We've never been there. We don't know what we're doing. Google, help me out. I don't want to Google what can I do in Toronto, so I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to click on the Explore button in Google. Explore is going to show you suggestions, the best stuff to see for your time frame. It's going to show you the best places to eat. It's going to show you all of that. You don't even have to click off. This is still on Google Flights. So when you go there, let's say we're staying in Toronto from January 1st to January 3rd. Or January 1st to January 7th. Let's do it up. We're doing the imaginary trip. Let's stay for a week. No. So we're going to do this 7-day trip. And it's going to say, hey, this is the best stuff to do in a 7-day span. And it'll show us a little map. And it'll show us, hey, this restaurant is next to this. this restaurant is next to this museum. This museum is next to this music store. So you're going to be able to go in order to all of these different places without having to think, oh, I don't know what to do. Google is showing you all the top places to go. It's telling you how much these places cost to eat, how much it costs to go to this museum. Google is giving you the hookup, honey. Yes, I love Google. All right, and then last, when you hit Google Trips, after you figure out like how you're going to explore, how you're going to do the flights and everything, it's going to show you basically suggestions for your hotel too. I never use the hotel suggestions just because on my next hack, I'm going to show you how to do it a little bit cheaper, but some people like to do packages. So with Google Trips, it's basically planning the entire trip. So you have your flight, you know what you're going to explore, now you need somewhere to stay, and it might even have, hey, let's get a taxi. I don't do taxis, I'll actually show that on another hack. But it gives you a full package. This is great for beginners because you don't have to worry about downloading a bunch of apps. You don't have to worry about looking at a lot of places. And if you have a smartphone, of course, all you'll have to do is say, hey, Google, show me my upcoming trips. And it will literally show you all of this in one place. It'll just pull it up. It'll give you the full list. It'll give you the full itinerary. You can click on the link, check into your flight, check into your hotel, get your car. Done. Done. Thank you, Google. And I don't just go with like individual airline. Like I don't always fly with American. I don't always fly with Delta. I don't always fly with Spirit. I go with whoever's cheapest. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, you only get so many bags with this airline or blah, blah, blah. I'm actually going to be doing probably a video or some kind of live stream or something to show you how to pack for these trips, because it's possible to go on a Spirit flight with just a personal item and pack for like a week. It's possible. Sometimes you can pack for longer than that. I flew to London for 2 weeks with nothing but a carry-on. So you can definitely make it work with a personal item. And I will show you how, so don't worry about it. All right, on to the next one. All right, so now we're going to talk about stay. This is another very important core item. Now you've gotten your flight, you gotten off the plane, you're running through the airport. Where are you staying? Don't forget the stay. A lot of people, especially lately, have been asking me about flights and stuff, and they're going on their first trips, but they don't ask me about how to find some place to stay. And I'm like, God forbid you're staying at a hotel that long, because that's a lot of money. That's like $100 a night. Kenny is not doing that, honey. No. Save your money. We're going to use that to eat or something. Or get a massage there. Don't spend that on where you're staying. Now, this is what I do. This is what I do almost every time. All right. Airbnb. This is one of my favorite things. All right, so why do I like Airbnb so much? Okay, so first off, you can select Superhost to make sure that you get a well-rated and clean and safe place to stay. Whenever you get a Superhost, it'll give you the rating for the people. They've had to have a certain amount of people stay with them and rate them. It'll show you the cleanliness levels. It'll show you if you can get the kitchen or not, if you have a private bathroom, what the bathroom looks like, all that stuff. Bathroom and kitchen, super important to me. Bed, super important to me. So whenever you do this, they'll go in and they'll be like, well, I really like the bed, but maybe the bathroom was gross, blah, 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 blah. Not with Superhost usually. If you're a Superhost, you probably have high marks on all of that. But Airbnb, they're really honest. So I do like that, and I have yet to have an Airbnb stay that I have not loved. When I stayed at my Airbnb in England, it was super clean. The couple that I stayed with, they were on the first level. I was on the second level. I had the entire second level to myself. The bathroom was sparkling clean. The shower was beautiful. My bedroom was all pink. I had a window view of the city. I could see the rain and everything. They let me eat in the bedroom. I had full access to the kitchen and the little courtyard outside. It was gorgeous. This last trip, I went to Denver. We stayed in a tree house that was nicer than any place I've ever lived. It was gorgeous. It had a fireplace, it had tea sets, it had a waterfall shower. It was beautiful. So definitely don't sleep on Airbnb. I know a lot of you may have never stayed at an Airbnb and you're thinking, oh, no, I don't want to stay at somebody else's house. There's different types of Airbnbs you can get. So when I stayed in New Orleans, I stayed at a hostel style Airbnb. So this Airbnb had international travelers. You're not allowed to stay there if you live in New Orleans. So you have to be an actual traveler. I know when some people think of hostels, they're like, ew, that's gross, blah, blah. This place was beautiful. It was super clean. They took us on free tours. There was free alcohol. There was like showers and private bathrooms. So all of that was private. You didn't have to worry about sharing any of that with anybody. The only thing that was shared were the sinks, which everybody gets their own sink because it's like 12 sinks on every line. And then they had a big kitchen, shared fridge, movie area. It was gorgeous. And then you have houses. With the houses, you can either stay with someone or you can rent out the entire space. Sometimes it costs a little bit more to rent out an entire space, but if you do like I've done in the past, I'll stay in their guest house. When you stay in their guest house, it's like not attached to their home, but it may be in their backyard or it might be like an in-law suite or something like that, or like a tiny house, which I love tiny houses. Okay. Another great hack with the Airbnb, besides selecting Superhost, make sure you always select Superhost because you want it to be, clean, safe, all of that good stuff. Refer a friend. Whenever you do a referral, when that person decides to travel, you get money and they get money. So I actually have a $20 credit because when I went to New Orleans, I went with my cousin. That's $20 that I can use, and that's pretty much a whole day if I decide to go somewhere domestic. So that's great. That's just extra money in my pocket. Another thing, whenever you're deciding to travel, because we're going on our little trip to Toronto, remember? You can actually pull up the map and see what the closest areas are. So now that we've used Google Explore, we know that, hey, there's a museum I want to go to. Well, if your Airbnb is on the outskirts of Toronto and your museum is in downtown Toronto, that's a super long drive. You don't want to do that. So you're going to pull up the map, which they do allow you to do when you find a house that you like, and you're going to be able to see exactly where on the map this Airbnb is. So pull up the map and you can actually make it bigger or smaller so it'll take up more space or less space, and you can see all the Airbnbs in that location. So if you want to stay downtown, which is sometimes a little bit pricier depending on where you're staying, you can actually select houses in just that area. If you don't mind doing a little bit of a drive because maybe your house is next to a bus station, which is what I did when I was in London, I actually stayed in Walthamstow. And then I took a train and a bus from one place to the other because it was super cheap. Do that. So if I'm staying in Toronto, I want to pay $20 a night, which is doable. I paid $27 a night when I was in England. You can do that. And then if it's next to a bus station, which Airbnb actually has a function where you can click on it and see all the public transit, you're good to go. And that's something that hasn't always been a function, so it's a really good hack now. Making sure you use the map option, selecting transit, seeing what you can do there. Another thing is to filter down what you want. So the filter option, never skip on that. It's always a good idea to go ahead and look at what you're getting yourself into. So me, I do not like sharing bathrooms. That's just something I do not do. I'm not really willing to, bend on that. When I went to the hostel, the bathrooms were separate and I didn't have to worry about really sharing with anybody. So all I had to do was like when it was my time to go in there, I'd take my whole full hour, I would clean the toilet seat and I would use that and I would clean the shower out. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to share. So when I stay in houses, I want my own private bathroom. That's actually something that apparently a lot of people have an issue with because you can request a private bathroom. Yay! Another thing is kitchen access. I want kitchen access because a lot of time if I'm going on a longer trip, I will actually cook. Instead of eating out every night, which really, you know, bites into your budget, just go to the grocery store and get some food. Maybe you want to get a little bit fancier food than what you have at your house. That's fine, but I will take $20 and go and buy like bread, waffles, eggs, spinach, that kind of stuff. And then I'll eat that while I'm, you know, out. So make sure you have kitchen access. Or maybe you don't care about that, so you don't even select it. Maybe you don't care that maybe you don't care about sharing a bathroom with somebody else. That's cool. That's fine. That's dandy. You don't have to select it, but maybe you want a pool. I don't need a pool because I'm not swimming. But if you want a pool, go ahead and check that. Maybe you need to practice. My little cousin, my little brother, they love swimming. So maybe they want to do it. I'm not trying to get wet. I'm good. So I'm not going to do that. So you have all these options and you want to dwindle it down to what you actually look forward to. That way, when you get there, you're not surprised like, oh, I didn't know I had to share the bathroom with your three kids, because you already selected that. And you won't be like, oh, I thought this house was just mine. I didn't know I had to share. You already know. You can actually select, I want the entire house, which is great. And then another great thing about Airbnb is it's not just good for places to stay, but you can actually get guided experiences. So sometimes the hosts are really good about taking you places, but some people are, you know, they work during the day or whatever, so they're going to be in and out. So you can actually select guided experiences on the Airbnb site. It'll ask you about stays. It'll ask you about experiences. And I think it's one other thing, but I never used the other thing. With guided experiences, it'll have salsa dance lessons, cake decorating, jewelry making, hiking, all this other stuff. So for Toronto, I'm probably gonna do some hiking. So there are guided hikes. So they will actually take you and a group on a hike around the lake. And they'll tell you about the different places to eat and stuff. Or you might want to go bar hopping at night, but you don't want to go by yourself. So you and another group of people will go. That way you have connections. You have somebody to check in with. So that's actually fun. Definitely look into that. And all these experiences are really cheap. Airbnbs actually aren't crazy expensive. You can get some higher end ones. The treehouse we did was a little bit on the higher end, but it was still super cheap. But like I said, when I stayed in London, $27 a night. And then they actually refunded me $50 just because they enjoyed my company so much. So, oh, thank you. So definitely check on that and don't get scared just because it has commercials and stuff like that. It is 100% possible to get an Airbnb for a week for like $100. You can do that. I plan on doing it soon. I plan on doing it again. So definitely look into that, okay? All right, now we're down to transportation. This is the last point we're going to talk about before I get into my favorite travel sites and apps. So, with transportation, once you get to wherever you're going, unless you decide to drive there, which I doubt if you're listening to this podcast, or you're planning on like renting a car, which for me personally, I don't really drive whenever I go anywhere unless I'm like couch surfing and the person allows me to borrow their car or something like that. And even with that, I don't do it very often. These are my favorite ways to get around. Okay, Uber is always going to be cheaper than cabs when you're overseas. I haven't been to Europe and China and like Thailand and that kind of thing, but I heard that the cabs are always the way to go there. But if you're going to any place in Europe, you're going to get taxed more when you do taxis. They're nice and they're fancy and everything. And I did take one taxi when I was in England because it was a really cool experience. It's really nice to see the way the cars are made. There's a whole bunch of foot space there, like leg room. Like you can just kind of walk around. if I had to give an example, I would say it's kind of like being in like a minivan and they removed the middle row of seats. So it's just the driver's seat with you and then you're way back here in kind of like the trunk. That way you can get all your luggage in and all of that stuff. And they have foot heaters, which is really cool. Like it's really old school. It looks like something out of the 20s. It's definitely worth one experience, but it costs. I paid like 75 euros to get from the mall in London to my Airbnb in Walthamstow. Baby, it was not worth it. So maybe, you know, do that once or twice if you want to really see something, but maybe go down the street. Don't go all the way back to your Airbnb. So Ubers, you can actually use the same app that you use in the States in other countries. So you don't have to worry about downloading a whole new app or trying to get a new function. You can use it the same way. Another thing with Uber that I don't know if people actually pay attention to, you can actually plan way in advance. So with me, after I booked my Airbnb, I went ahead and went on my Uber app and I put in the address for my Airbnb, even though I was still here in the States. And then I put in the address for the mall because I Googled it. I love Google. So it told me that it would be $35 to ride from the mall where the train station is, because I actually took the train from the airport all the way to the mall. And then from the mall, I rode back to my Airbnb to where I'd be staying. And that's a great way to go ahead and check your funds, make sure you have enough for transportation. Super easy. Uber is really good about all of that as far as like mapping out your routes. And I didn't even realize you could do it in advance until I did that. So definitely check on Uber. It's a really easy app to set up. I know every state doesn't have Uber. I know it's now in Mississippi, which is really dope. But if you're planning on going overseas for the first time, don't feel like you're just going to be stuck. You can actually Uber in most places. All right, so another thing, buses and trolleys. They are stupid cheap, y'all. So good. So we don't actually have a lot of public transit in my hometown. But after I moved up to Starkville, they have a bus that goes around. And it'll pick you up at your apartment and take you to the university. So that's how I figured out how the buses work. So with public transit buses, where it's actually the city bus, you will actually either get a card or an app or something like that. You put money on it, you scan it, and then you're able to get like a little discount while you're traveling. You don't always have to do this. You can pay cash. I paid cash when I was in New Orleans because I didn't want to go through all that. But you do get a little bit of a discount if you're staying a little bit longer. That's a great thing to consider. Also, you're able to get maps, which I'm going to show you an app that actually shows you how it works. And this app is supposed to help you in all cities. My boyfriend uses it. I haven't used this one. I usually use the one just for that city because every bus has a map and then they'll have a website that works just for that city. And I like that a little bit better because I feel like it's a little bit more individualized for that specific place and I don't have to worry about it being off. But yeah, they have maps. They'll show you where they pick up, where they let off. And if you ever feel like you're kind of lost, don't worry. The bus actually goes in a full circle. So you'll always end up back where you left off unless the bus is like leaving at the route, like you're about to stop for the day. And then in that case, you can always just talk to the driver. Most drivers are super friendly and they'll tell you when the next bus is picking up or what bus you need to get on to go to the next stop. I did this in New Orleans. I wasn't very familiar with New Orleans. We rode that bus everywhere and we didn't always know where we were going. People on the bus are willing to help you. The bus driver's willing to help you. There are a lot of good people out there. Don't be afraid. And then the last thing, Google Maps and walk. So I am not telling you to go out walking at 10 p.m. by yourself. Do not do that. That is not smart. That is no bueno. Baby, don't do that. But I am telling you to walk when you can. So this is my thing. I solo travel a lot. If I want to go places, I'm not going to wait for somebody to go with me because that has never worked in my life and I wouldn't have started traveling if I was waiting for somebody to go with me. Honest to God, it just wouldn't have happened. So I decide to walk around when I first moved here. So what I do is I make a rule, walking in the daytime, good. Having Google Maps so I know where I'm walking and I'm not walking into alleys and into ratchet places, good. Walking in places that are well populated, So if something happens or somebody try to pop off with me, I'm getting somebody daddy, I'm getting somebody mama, don't play with me. Good. Do not walk places by yourself. Do not go down dark alleys. Don't do all of that. And Google Maps is really good about taking you on populated streets. So when I first moved to Dallas, I actually walked around Deep Ellum quite a bit by myself. Deep Ellum is a little bit of a rougher area just to be walking solo, especially if you're not from here. But I love Deep Ellum now. That's one of my favorite areas, and I'll go there all the time, and I walk around by myself all the time. The thing is, you walk during the day, you walk on populated streets, you don't go into alleys, and then Google Walk always puts you on populated streets. So it's not a big deal. I did the same thing in London. I didn't have access to internet outside of my Airbnb. I did not have an international phone plan because I am cheap and I try to save money where I can. So I would screenshot my Google Map and I would use my Google Map to navigate. I did not have phone access. People don't gotta know that. They see you got a phone in your hand, they not gonna mess with you. So I actually walked by myself around the city of London with my Google Map because it showed me where it was gonna be populated. And it showed me where the main streets were. I got lost a couple of times. I always walk up to a mom or something like that. I make sure it's somebody with kids or something like that, or an older person. And I tell them, hey, I'm not from here. Can you show me where I'm going? Don't say this to everybody, because some people crazy. You need to feel out people's energies. Make sure you go into somebody who's safe. And then let them know. They'll point you in the right direction. I always got to my bus, got on the bus. I was good. Got to where I was going. Came back to the Airbnb. There you go, honey. Easy as that. All right, recap. We're using Google Flights to find our flights. We're using Airbnb for our stays. We're using Ubers and buses and Google Maps for our transportation. All right, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, know that you can leave me a voice message and know that you can DM me. Now we're gonna get into my favorite travel sites and apps. Y'all, I wish you could see Mr. Tim right now, because he is like laying on top of his stuffed animals with his feet in there, and it's the funniest thing in the world. Alright, so let me not be distracted by my cat. Alright, favorite travel sites and apps. So, number one, if you are under 27 years old, which I am crawling up that ladder, honey, and I won't be able to use this app a little bit, studentuniverse.com. I'm going to put this in the show notes again. studentuniverse.com. This is best for flights and stay. So my algorithm is I go to Google, I put in my dates, I find the cheapest dates, and I leave that open, okay? Don't close out after you do that. I'll also go to the airport site, and I'll put in those same dates, and I leave that open. Then I go to the actual airline site that I found, say Spirit, and I leave that open after I put the dates in. I'm gonna leave these open overnight, and then I'm going to go to Student Universe the next day, or maybe a couple hours later after my computer has read all the cookies, and then I put in the dates that I found. So, you know, we can watch and all that good stuff, and our computers are reading all of our information. So when you do this, just like when you look up a flight on Google and then your Facebook will show cheap flights and all that kind of stuff, and people will basically try to advertise to you based on the stuff you Google, the same thing works with the different travel sites. So if you are Googling a flight here and then you decide to go to Delta or something like that, they're going to have those same flights advertised to you there, because your cookies store your information so they can better give you advertisements that fit your lifestyle. So with Student Universe, they're basically doing the same thing. So Student Universe is already their own thing. They're basically for educators and students, or people who have student IDs, or people who are under 27, and they give you a discount on different flights. So since they're already giving you a discount, after you leave all of these windows open, the windows are going to store the cookies, and when you open Student Universe, it's going to basically give you a cheaper price than what you see on all of those. One, because you get a discount because you're under 27 or you're an educator or you're a student, and then two, because it read the cookies. So let's say our flight to Toronto was $300 earlier. Now we're going to put that into Student Universe the exact same date. So we were going to do January 1st through the 7th. We're putting all of this exact same information in. Nothing has changed, but we're getting a $50 discount because we left all these windows open, our cookies are reading, and they're trying to give us a competitive price because they'd rather we go with them than go with Google or Delta or Spirit. So you are getting a $50 discount that you can use for your Uber, for your Airbnb, for any of this stuff, because we're smart and we figured out the algorithm. We not gonna let the government get us. We know what we doing. So we put all this information in. Now that we have Student Universe open, we can even leave that open for a couple of days and go back to Google. Google might show us a cheaper flight now because after so long, your cookies will continue to read. They'll read each other's websites and then they'll start competing with the other windows you have open. So every time you click on a new window, it's activating those cookies again. So now that Student Universe is saying 250, Spirit might say 225. If you click on that, Delta might say 220. So they're going to start bidding on each other. Given this is somewhat of a up in the air thing, sometimes they'll say, "Well, you know, it's cold outside and she wants to go to Toronto. We're just going to leave it at this because nobody wants to go to Toronto." Okay, that might be a thing. And sometimes you might want to book out in advance. So it's not always going to be a promise thing, but it's good to keep in mind. Cookies can work for you, they can work against you, but I always get them to work for me. It's a really good skill to have to know to cheap travel. Like I said, it's not always promised, so I always keep something bookmarked in Google just in case. But it's a good trick, and it's something I implement every time I buy a ticket. Another thing is using local on Facebook. Okay, so you can either look at this on your actual Facebook page or you can download the local app. I'm going to put this in the show notes because I may not be saying it clear enough for some of you to hear, but it's local, LOCAL, local. So with this, it actually has cheap experiences and then cheap events. So on the poll, one of my people asked me about cheap events and cheap, like concerts and that kind of stuff. So wherever you are, you can actually open local. It'll either read your location if your location is on, or you can type in the location if you want to do it in advance, and it'll show you all the events, all the concerts, all of anything that's going on in that area. So I live in Dallas, so when I use local, it'll show me like little concerts that are happening at pubs, or it'll show me major concerts that are happening at the American Airlines Center. It'll show me that there's going to be a wine crawl in Deep Ellum, or it'll show me that it's going to be an art gallery down in Frisco. So when you use local, you're able to buy tickets to all of these events through links, or you're able to kind of talk to the person who's holding the show and kind of, you know, finesse your way in there. So that's a lot of fun. I've actually gone to several events using local. Now I'm going to talk about some of the things that you can use to actually pack and like figure out your money and everything when you go overseas. PackPoint is really good for making a packing list. I've kind of gotten my packing list down to a science now because I usually do one bag travel. I've never checked a bag. Never. I'm not going to pay you money to check a bag of things that belong to me. No, I will not. I refuse. I am cheap. I like my money. No. No. So, Packing Point is really good if you want to get all of your stuff tailored down and you're not just trying to throw random crap into your bag. You do not need 15 t-shirts and you wear the same t-shirts every week anyway. You don't need 8 pairs of shoes and you're going somewhere for 2 days. You just don't need it. So Packing Point will give you suggestions, based on the time frame you're going, based on the climate of the place you're going, and based on the location. So it's a really cool app you can actually download, and you can put where you're staying. So when I put that I was staying in London, it suggested I bring an umbrella. It suggested I bring two pairs of shoes, sandals, and sneakers. And then you can actually put in events you plan on going to. So if I was going to a fancy dinner, it would say maybe bring a dress and heels. If I was saying I was going swimming, it would say bring two bathing suits. It's really cool with doing that. And then while you're packing, you actually go down and you just check the boxes of everything you remember to pack. You can also customize it. So I have to take several medications, and medications was on there, but I knew if I just checked medications, I would forget a couple. And I actually had 8 that I was taking at the time. So I actually go in and name all the medications so I can check them off one by one to make sure I have them all in my bag. You can do the same thing with different things you like. So maybe you want to bring your Game Boy, or maybe you want to bring 3 shades of lipstick. You're gonna forget those if you don't put them on there because you're so excited about going, so you can actually add those all to the list. CoinCalc is another app that's really good, especially if you're going overseas or to another country. So if you're going to Mexico, it would tell you how much your money would be worth in Mexico and how much it would be worth here. Same thing with Toronto, same thing with England, France, Greece, wherever you're going. So basically, you convert the money that you have in US dollars to whatever the currency is in that location. So say I had, $5 US money, and I wanted to know how much that was worth in pounds. So I would put in $5, and it would say equals, which is like 3.5 pounds, because the American dollar is weaker than the pound. If I wanted to go to Mexico, I would basically put in $5 equals so many pesos. I know the American dollar is stronger than the peso, but I'm not sure because I haven't been to Mexico yet. Going next year. Woo! So that's a really good one. And then last but not least, with my favorite travel sites, is Groupon. People are sleeping on Groupon. Groupon is my everything. Groupon gives me massages. It gives me manicures, facials, peels, all of that. Like, it's great. So Groupon actually has actual cruises and all-inclusive stays and resorts and all of that. And they'll have flights included. So I actually plan on doing this for my trip to Mexico. I'm planning on going to Cancun, and with this, you can actually go ahead and buy an all-inclusive stay at resorts, and they're actually accredited. They're actually proven. You can read reviews on people who've gone and stayed there. It's great. And they actually give it to you for like a quarter of the price, or they'll take 25% off, they'll take 50% off, they'll take 15% off, and you can look at all these locations. You can also do this with different experiences you want to have. So if I want to have a massage in London, I can actually look there. If I want to have a manicure in Atlanta, I can look there. If I want to have the chance to use them yet, that's going to be transit. So it's actually a public transit map. So you can actually look at all the different places that the bus is going, trains, all of that. My boyfriend really likes this. He told me I start using it. So I'm going to actually look into this, and I might review it later. Lime scooters. I've used this one time. I am bad at Lime scooters. I cannot ride an electric scooter. I found that out. I'm not good with things with wheels on it. I can drive a car, and that's about it. I don't do bumper cars. I don't do scooters. I don't do skates. It's not my cup of tea, but I hope it works for you. It's really good at getting you from point A to point B, and I believe that they're like 50 cents per minute or something like that, and they go pretty fast. I definitely experienced the speed on them. They go pretty fast. So those are really good with saving money if you don't want to walk. And then there's maps.me. So this is actually sort of like Google Maps. It actually shows you the entire location, so you can actually look at the map altogether. I haven't used this either, but I did hear that you can actually use it offline, which is a big thing that I like about Google Maps, because Google Maps you can actually use when you don't have internet too. So I do plan on using this. I don't know if I'm gonna like it as much as Google Maps, just because I feel like Google has so much going for it, but I am open to it. So now that you guys have heard all of this, please give me your feedback. Please rate this episode. Let me know what you think. I'm playing on all major accounts now, so you should be able to find me basically anywhere that you can hear podcasts. So wherever you're listening to this, please leave me a review. Please let me know what you think about the show. Feel free to DM me. Keep the questions going. I'm really enjoying answering you guys and talking to you guys and having all these conversations. It means so much to me that you guys are listening. Please refer me to your friends. If you have anybody who wants to travel, let them know about the show. I am so open to questions. I love you guys, in case no one else has told you today. I appreciate your support. Know that I'm rooting for you. Go out there and travel. Enjoy your life. Love yourself. Love others and heart your life, you guys. And I mean it. Go out there and heart your life. I'll talk to you later. Bye.